This is not a brass tacks, the Monday edition of the program. Well, we've had some people on the line from Guyana looking specifically at what's been happening with the political situation there since the March 2nd national and regional elections, elections that are yet to have a declared winner. And we have reached a stage where we've had Gail Teixeira. She's been representing the PPP Civic. We've had Prime Minister Moses Nagamutu representing the ruling alliance. Dennis Chabral, a journalist, Peter Wickham, the pollster. Mr. Nagamutu has had to leave. And I think we've covered enough ground that I wouldn't want it to appear as though we are going to give unfair advantage to one over the other, Mrs. Teixeira. So at this stage, I'm going to conclude the program. Pardon?
Could I just have the opportunity to have a concluding remark
before
I depart?
Yes, you can.
Because I think Mr. Nagamutu had the last lick before you broke for the news.
Yes.
I just want to say this, sir. I want to thank the Caribbean people and their governments for standing on the side of democracy, on the side of truth. And that has been shown by the forthrightness of your leaders. I want to say on this program that the people of Guyana marches innocently, peacefully, freely, and transparently. And all the observer missions, international and local, reported that that is what happened on March the 2nd. There are only two bodies that are holding this country back. One is the chief elections officer, who has arrogated himself powers that don't exist anywhere, has arrogated himself godlike powers to disappear 115,000 voters in his most recent results. To explain that, the statements of recount that were done for each of the 2,339 ballot boxes were witnessed, signed by all the GCOM officials and the political parties contesting except APNU AFC. And that these tabulated reports and the ballot box reports were broadcast on television every afternoon from 3 and 4 o'clock, so the public could watch statement by statement a poll being put up on the screen and the result, and that being tabulated into the tables, so that everybody knows the results of the elections. The PPPC won and is waiting to be sworn in, to be declared that so it can be sworn in. It is only the chief elections officer, and now we have the APNU saying yesterday that the president will not concede defeat. What does that do to Guyana? What is the future for Guyana?
What are the options for you?
Well, obviously, I mean, we have, I just want to say, the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, is meeting tomorrow to hear the case of Guyana in relation to the Venezuela-Guyana border controversy. We really don't have a government in place. We have a de facto government. The CCJ is on Wednesday, July 1st. Whichever way the latter goes, that is the CCJ. We come back to the fact that GCOM is required by law to declare the results by their own amendment that they made to in subsidiary legislation, that the results of the recount must be used, the certified results, which is what we have. And therefore, what will happen, and if the chief elections officer disobeys and the president disobeys, we are facing the possibility of a dictatorship, an illegal government, and a government that is illegally in office, and an illegitimate government. The consequences we've been warned about by every top leader in the world. So we face very serious consequences. But this is therefore the point at which the government, the APNU-led government by Mr. Granger, has to decide, are they on the side of democracy or on the side of dictatorship? Our constitutional laws are in Neverland right now. There is no provision for this in law or constitution. And why is it that the votes of the people are not being allowed? And so this is the critical junction that we're at. The issue is that the certified recount results, as agreed to by the president and leader of opposition, the aide memoir, by the GCOM in an official gazette, this is the only thing that could be had.
Okay.
Anybody dissatisfied has a right to go to election petition.
Yes.
But that can only happen after the official results.
I want to thank you very much for taking the time and sharing your views with us and trying to assist in getting Barbadians and other people across the Caribbean and out in the diaspora to have a better appreciation of what the issues are and why this delay has gone on for as long as it has. Thank you very much, Gail Teixeira.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. I see that we are joined by somebody else. I'm not so sure because originally we were going to be joined by someone else to replace Gail Teixeira, but that was before we decided that basically we had covered enough ground here. Is this person representative of the PPP Civic or APNU?
No, I was told that Prime Minister Moses Nagamutu will be off at 12.
Yeah.
And so I am Aubrey Norton, who was expected to join when he would have left.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We'll take you for a short period. But we've also taken some questions. And if, Gail Teixeira, perhaps you want
to...
If you want to stay, so that we are able...
As you were removing me because Moses was coming off, then
yes.
I have no choice.
But let me get some calls, as I said.
Norton.
Let's take some calls.
Sure.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis, to you and your guest.
Yes, hi.
I would like to ask the government side and the opposition side this one question. Because as I listen to them, they're both accusing each other of a lot of skullduggery. And I would like to ask them if it wouldn't be good for the authorities in Guyana to call this election null and void and redo it starting from the beginning by first of all cleaning up the voters list. And starting from there, and then bringing in the observers from all over wherever they want them to come from.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be better as opposed to having this to-and-fro-ing, and the ordinary folk in Ghana, and of course us in the wider Caribbean, don't really grasp what is happening.
Okay, let's get some other calls as well. Thank you very much. I know callers have been lining up for quite some time, and my apologies for keeping you on the line for this length of time. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Those of you who are not familiar with the number to call, it's 434-1790. 434-1790, the number for you to call. Yes, welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am.
I am calling. I just want to ask two questions. When they signed for the recount, did they not sign for credible election vote that fair and credible? I know they signed for that. And if they find these references in the counting process, shouldn't the chief election raise a challenge? Because they keep coming back to the count before, but they find discrepancy in the second count. Shouldn't people value that instead of keep going back to the old thing where even when the observers, they said it was kind of fair. They didn't say it was fair thing because they too find it was there was discrepancies.
So you may ask, you're Guyanese living outside of Guyana. So when you look at all that has been happening since March the 2nd, how do you feel?
I'm feeling so terrible because I know Guyana. I lived there for how much years? It's only a couple of years I'm here. And it is so wrong. It is so wrong.
What aspect of it is wrong for you?
Listen, because I know somebody have to be lying. As the guy said just now, do it over. Let let a team let them do the counting because it will stop. Because this lady keeps referring to the old voters list. People like me out of Guyana, and let me tell you something. My family was there, and people, my name, and think even though I was out of Guyana long, I vote, and I wasn't there. So I know that is wrong, because the person who go to vote could not even remember the name.
Now, how long ago was that?
I was out for 27 years.
And nothing has changed?
Nothing. Nothing.
Not even the voting process?
Listen. Only the Lord could
so
help
when
me
is the last time you voted in absentia?
I was there for 2015.
Okay.
I was there for 2015, but I didn't go back this year. Well, you know the COVID.
Yes.
Stop. Right, but I was there for 2015.
All right, well, let's get some other views. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome. I just want to get in on the program.
Yes.
Yeah. I heard Mr. Teixeira talking about COVID.
Can you turn your radio down, please?
Oh, yes. Sorry. But if it was a case where it was 5 or 6 boxes, but 49 boxes with no documents, no supporting documents to know who was and who is and who is to be, with no supporting records, how are you counting those 49 boxes? How are you going to know what kind of a audit they did? That they just go to count votes, you don't know who was dead, who was out of the island, who impersonating other people or whatever. You don't know anything. That is not right.
Okay, well, let's get a response from Mrs. Teixeira.
Can I, in relation to the first person, the first caller, in relation to nullifying the elections and what the second caller also mentioned, nullifying the elections and start again. I had referred when I was closing off that any alternative than using the certified recount statements would be putting us into no man's land. There is no constitutional provision or law to allow a nullification of election. The GCOM, the Elections Commission, has no such power. There is no provision whatsoever. And there's no parliament, so you can't go back to do any amendment to provide for that. So that's no man's land, and therefore it is not an option that we have available. And I just thought I'd explain that to the callers. The third caller, to do with the boxes. 2,339 ballot boxes were counted, within which there were the ballots for the general and the ballots for the regional. Each one had a statement of poll for regional and general, and each one went through the scrutiny in 12 workstations at the recount. A number of allegations were made, but they had no evidence. And in fact, the enthusiasm of the APNU AFC counting agents were commented in the CARICOM report, observer report, that they were so enthusiastic and that in fact they were on a fishing expedition, because in one point they called a whole set of serial numbers for people on a voters list when nobody had voted at all in that polling station. And so that's a comment from the CARICOM. The other issue is that the ballot boxes, if the poll books is not there, once you have the official list of electors and the ballots, the number of ballots that should be in that box, and that is counted, once the numbers don't exceed or override the numbers on the voters list, then it is not a red flag to be investigated. And therefore, the count was done in the presence of the counting agents. There is only one group that raised a lot of questions. And in fact, they came out with lists that said these people didn't vote or voted for somebody else. All of these were checked and found by my party, going to the grassroots, that this was not so. people were living where they were registered and they went and voted. We have video and everything on that. The issue of dead voting, as I said early in the program, people have folios. Each station has a folio which has every voter's photograph, biodata. And so even if someone comes in to vote who doesn't have a voter ID card or even a passport, they present themselves, and once the photograph looks like them and they ask questions about their date of birth and where they're living and they're on the voters list, they're allowed to vote. So these oaths of identity and all these things we've been talking about are not issues. They're not issues in our laws today. And so I just want to clarify that, because it is true about the 49 ballot boxes, and it was also true, which is not being mentioned, is that it was discovered that the cheat is the one who gave the instructions to the deputy registration officers, the returning officers, to not put those documents in the ballot boxes. And we have videos of the building when the returning officers and deputy returning officers were bringing their packages on the night of March the 2nd of the documents they were told not to put in the box.
Okay.
Those documents have disappeared.
So let's get a comment from Mr. Norton.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I believe that these issues have got to be understood in context. One of the things, as I listen to the presentation, that the People's Progressive Party is running from, is that they signed and agreed, they negotiated the gazetted order. That gazetted order made it clear that it was not a mere tabulation of votes. I want to draw a distinction between a ballot cast and valid vote. When you go in the box, you will find all of the ballots that were cast. But they only become valid votes when they have with them the legal instruments that will suggest that they are valid. And the next point I want to make is that there was an agreement, one, that there will be tabulation of the ballots, and two, there will be an observation report which will state the facts as found in the boxes. Now, it's at that point where the observation report should have been taken and considered by GCOM. The People's Progressive Party ran off suggesting that it won based on the tabulated ballots. It is for that reason we end up going to court to have the legal system pronounce on what most votes mean, and they pronounce it meant most valid votes. When it comes to the discrepancies, I was integrally involved. I'm not speaking secondhand. I was integrally involved in the process, and there were a plethora of discrepancies that amounted to electoral fraud. One, I heard Mr. Shearer attempting to play down the importance of the oath of identity. But let me just make it clear. GCOM had a list of people who didn't collect their ID cards. When we were doing our work, we checked. When you went to the official list of electors, there were people who didn't have their ID card who voted. Under the law, if they are to vote, they must sign an oath of identity. Many of them did not. And so their votes could not be legal because the law is clear. The law says, yes, you can vote if you don't have an ID, but your face must match the folio. And there must be the signing of an oath of identity.
Mr. Norton, we don't have we don't have a lot of time. So in the limited time we have, which is about 3 minutes or so, tell me, what do you see as the way forward?
For me, the way forward is let us live by the rule of law. Let us do as directed by our courts, as we have been doing all the time. And once that process is completed, then we have to go to the next phase where we seek to resolve the deep-seated problems in Guyana. Election is only a manifestation of a number of other problems. And so I believe once we live by the law, operate based on the law, the issues will be resolved. But even when that occurs, Guyana has to go further and deal with the other problems that exist that manifest themselves at election time.
Do you see any efforts on to address those other issues?
We have been, as a country, we have been on and off with it. There was a time when we signed with the PPP under Robert Corbyn, constructive engagement. And when we thought we were going to go in that direction, then it was called off by the People's Progressive Party. I believe a new AP and new AFC government will become involved in a process of seeking to rectify the many problems, especially the ethnic securities that exist in the Guyanese society.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being a part of today's program of Down to Brass Tacks. Again, to you, Gail Teixeira, Aubrey Norton. We also heard from Peter Wickham. We had as well Dennis Chabral on the line. And we certainly hope that those of you who were perhaps in need of some more information on what was happening in Guyana would have benefited from this exchange. Some of you might have emerged being even more confused, but that means that we perhaps have to send you elsewhere, perhaps to Guyana itself, to get anything that is more or less confusing than what we have had before us since March the 2nd. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks, going until 2 o'clock. We've covered one set of issues looking at Guyana, but now we come to the other things that are happening around us and in this country as well. LEAC certainly must be at the top of the agenda for discussion. This airline has had so many problems over the years. I saw the story over the weekend where the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda announced that there's got to be a new airline, that they're closing down LEAC. And then his first and most important point, I believe, for him was that you got to make sure that other people don't come now to fight Antigua for the headquarters of this new airline. We have to come to terms with some issues that have been dogging LEAC for quite some time. Most people in the region will tell you that what they resent more than anything else is the amount of government taxes that have been applied to LEAC in particular. Now, let's look at where we are now in this COVID era. Based upon what is happening in the United States, there are many people who will be more reluctant to go there than to go on a holiday in the Caribbean. But if the airfare structure of any new entity remains exactly what it has been in relation to LEAC, then we are starting off at a disadvantage. In this country, we have encouraged people to go within Barbados for staycations. If people are afraid to go to the United States in particular, and to Britain, can't we stimulate more intra-regional trade by reducing the government taxes so that you encourage more movement? And I suppose ideally what should happen is that regional hotels should be involved in that whole process of stimulating regional staycations. But if this idea of closing LEAC is only aimed at getting rid of the legacy costs and to come and rehash LEAC under a different name, then we're not going to go anywhere. Another big issue here has to do with being able to get more regional governments to participate in any regional airline. Some people in this region love a freebie. You know, they don't want to make the contribution. They got all sorts of other interests that they want to promote. Some of them, sometimes I believe they want to start their own airline to compete with LEAC. Well, this is the opportunity for us to see whether there is something genuinely new that is going to be put on the table. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. I see the comments that have been made about what has been said by Dwight Sutherland, the Minister for Small Business. I believe he needs to say to you what he said to me this weekend. Because when I spoke to him this weekend, that wasn't for the record, so I can't tell you what he told me. So in those circumstances, I think he better come and tell the public what he said to me. Because what has been said in the newspapers is generating some conversation, and there's an automatic assumption that Mr. Sutherland and the Barbados Labour Party are looking after the interests of the established people, the established dealers, and that whatever this level playing field is will not be to the advantage of the new players. So I really think he needs to speak to it. At some point, it is up to him to determine when and if. Welcome to the program. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You have somebody on the line? Can you speak up, please? Hello, turn your radio off. Can you turn your radio off? Hello? You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Am I on?
You are.
Right, Mr. David. It's good afternoon again. How are you?
I'm okay.
I know. I hope so. I am telling you, Mr. Ellis. The CCJ has the last and the final say for the Ghana election.
Are you sure?
Sure, I can't remember. I don't have a PhD.
But a lot depends upon what the issue is.
But as little that I know, I believe that CCJ would have the final say. And I personally feel that you, Mr. Ellis, Peter Wickham, and company have no respect for the CCJ ruling.
Why is that?
I personally feel that we should keep quiet.
Listen, just stop talking that nonsense. Look, I can tell you why it is nonsense. The CCJ is going to be ruling on an aspect of the Guyana situation. You all are trying to force a situation upon the public of the country of the Caribbean that you must remain completely muzzled on all aspects of an issue as long as something is taken to court. But we have not been discussing the details of what the CCJ has before it. There are other issues related to Guyana's elections and what has happened over the past couple of months that are worthy of discussion. I don't understand why you want to be muzzling people like that.
When the CCJ has a criminal matter or have any ruling, everybody is mooting. Everybody is saying that what the CCJ said is final.
What is it that is being discussed before the CCJ right now? You know? Do you know what it is that is before the CCJ right now? This is not a criminal matter.
They gave me gun elections on the 1st of July.
What? Pardon me?
It's going to be the Ghana
elections. No. It isn't just the Guyana elections right across the board. It's an aspect of it. But you believe that as long as somebody say, oh, it gone to the CCJ, no matter what part of it, we must all be pushed into a state of silence on other aspects. There's so many other aspects of what is happening in Guyana. Well, that's your business. If you think it disrespectful, you are entitled to your view. I ain't seen nothing disrespectful about looking at other aspects of what. And look, I will tell you something else too. You come and single me out, and Peter Wickham, let me tell you something. The Prime Minister of Guyana was on the air just now. He's a lawyer. He don't know the territory that you can go on. You trying to single out me or Peter Wickham? No, there are other people involved. They're the people at the center of it. And they have determined that they can discuss that without disrespect to the CCJ. Who are you to come and tell us that we're disrespectful? This is down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Look, this is part and parcel of the kind of psychology that is practiced on people in this region. You know, we have been conditioned to be afraid to sit down and talk about things that impact on us, that affect us on a regular basis. We've come up in a culture, and I listen to all the talk about the Black Lives Matter and that sort of thing, but when you look in the context of Barbados, you will see how people are intimidated and stopped from discussing things that affect their lives or have the potential to affect their lives by exactly this kind of approach, you know, is unnecessary. And I certainly hope that the people at the CCJ will continue to show a greater sense of enlightenment on some of these matters than I hear from some of the people who want us to follow the old dictate that as long as, you know what you call it? Gagging people. As long as you don't want nobody to talk about something, you see, get a writ. Gag them. That's what you do. Down to brass tacks.